Hello, I'm Marcus Louth, and welcome to the latest edition of the UFO Insight podcast, where we examine all things UFOs and aliens, conspiracies and mysteries, and all aspects of the paranormal. Okay, today we'll be looking at possible connections between UFO and alien encounters and Bigfoot. Why, for example, are many of the UFO hotspots, particularly around the United States, where our focus will remain for this episode, also home to multiple waves of Bigfoot encounters? And why are many of these encounters reported around the same times as UFO waves? So is there really a connection between Bigfoot and UFOs? Perhaps the best place to start would be to turn our attention back to those UFO hotspots. The state of Washington, for example, has regular reports of these strange creatures, and just so happens to have an equally high number of UFO sightings. In fact, it is from the state of Washington where some of the most famous encounters with Bigfoot have occurred, just one of which is that of Fred Beck. In 1924, while staying in Abe Canyon, Beck and his team were subject to rocks being thrown at their cabin. After managing to sit out the incident, they would find huge footprints in the mud around the grounds the following morning. Most thought it was likely a prank from a rival mining team, but Beck wasn't so sure. He investigated the stories and accounts of the area over the following years, eventually writing of his theories. Multiple stories told of a large, hairy creature appearing out of nowhere, even throwing rocks from high above. He ultimately believed that the creatures that attacked the cabin that evening were from another dimension. Without a doubt, however, one of the strangest locations is Skinwalker Ranch, which alongside a plethora of bizarre events, also boasts many reports of Bigfoot-type sightings. When we put these sightings alongside the many UFO encounters to have been reported over the ranch and the surrounding areas, we might ask if there is some kind of connection and just what that connection might be. While Skinwalker Ranch might be the most well-known location of Bigfoot and UFO sightings, it is far from the only one. And as we will dedicate an entire episode to the strange goings-on at Skinwalker Ranch another time, we will now turn our attention to another intriguing location. Hudson Valley in New York, like Skinwalker Ranch, has an abundance of strange activities on record, which include Bigfoot encounters. Perhaps one of the most intriguing of these occurred in the winter of 1985 at the Ice Cave Mountains, while two female friends were driving in the region looking to find somewhere to walk. They saw the entrance to the woodland that housed the Ice Cave Mountains, pulled over their car, and despite it being closed to visitors due to the winter season, they clambered over the gate and made their way on foot into the blissful wilderness. As they approached the woodland, however, they noticed something strange standing upright in front of them. Although it was absolutely human-looking, it was also clearly covered in fur from head to toe. The two women stopped when they noticed a strange figure, and it too was seemingly staring back at them. When one of the women began to speak, the creature turned and made its way into the forest without looking back. Whether or not the Ice Cave Mountain does provide a home to a Bigfoot, or indeed many such creatures, is open to debate. However, some researchers believe the environment of the region and the decreased human presence makes it a perfect fit. Might it be that their intelligence has allowed them to realise the area is largely theirs during the winter months, before they retreat further into the wilderness during the summer period? It is an area, much like the entire Hudson Valley region, that continues to witness these strange creatures today. It is perhaps worth pointing out that of all the UFO encounters to have occurred in the Hudson Valley, and there are indeed many, one of the most intriguing was a wave of sightings that occurred around the same time as the Bigfoot encounter we have just examined. They began on March 17, 1983, over the town of Brewster. The town's telephone switchboard became jammed with frantic calls reporting strange lights in the night sky. Gridlocked drivers on the highway left their vehicles to observe the lights passing overhead, and some said they were part of a large mothership. Dennis Sant is just one person who witnessed the craft as it made its way directly over his house. Sant, a government employee for almost 20 years and a married father with 5 children, is an extremely credible witness. He would later state that thoughts started to flood into his mind, thoughts of the craft touching the ground and of an encounter with an alien being. He even thought of being abducted. All types of fearful thoughts started to run through his head. According to Sant, the object was most definitely three-dimensional and made of a girder-like dark grey metallic outer shell. The lights were all brilliant colours and had the look of a floating city at night. Several months later, in late June, another mass sighting occurred. This time, frightened residents could hear a strange low humming sound permeate the whole area. Suddenly, a huge disc-shaped craft, exploding in strange lights, made a pass directly overhead. Estimates would later claim the craft to be the size of 16 or 17 houses. The sightings would continue throughout the 80s. Even then, by comparison to today, with reduced news outlets and no internet, some people were beginning to connect the dots of these random sightings. In the summer of 1986, while driving home from work one evening, Rob Levine focused his attention on what looked to be a low-flying aircraft. Within seconds, it had moved much closer to his position. He brought the vehicle to a stop, and the object flashed with coloured lights unlike anything he had seen before. As he maintained his view of the object, it seemed to keep moving, first further away and then closer. All the time the craft did this at great speed. The lights would flash in a V-shape, and then seemed to form into a strange unknown symbol. Levine would later claim that he had the feeling the craft was attempting to communicate. All the while he noticed how quiet his surroundings were, almost surreal, as were the light beams projecting from the object. However, they seemed to Levine to be strangely projecting from the ground and up to the craft. In total, between 1982 and 1986, over 300 reports of such objects were made. The details of them were remarkably similar. All would speak of lights in many colours and of them arranging themselves into strange shapes, in particular a V-shape. Yet another area of interest in terms of a location that is home to both Bigfoot and UFO sightings is the San Luis Valley on the other side of the United States in Colorado. There have been hundreds, if not thousands, of Bigfoot reports from the San Luis Valley, and while these reports could make up an entire book, some are worth examining here. Researcher Christopher O'Brien has documented many of these sightings during his time researching the strange activity in the region, and these sightings, much like UFO encounters, often come in waves. For example, in late December 1993, stretching to the first week of January 1994, seven encounters were officially reported to the local police. What's more, according to O'Brien, each of these encounters occurred in the same 7-square-mile radius. We might wonder how many other sightings and encounters occurred during this time that were simply not reported. One of the reports, which occurred on December 31st, featured several definite tracks of huge footprints, some of which were so distinguished, even the toes could be made out. The local police would even manage to capture part of the track on video. They went on for several hundred yards, negotiating various different terrains as they did so. One of the most intriguing Bigfoot encounters during this wave of sightings in late 1993 and early 1994 came from a mother and son. According to their account, they had spent the day in the mountains and with night approaching, decided to set off back home. However, during the drive, they witnessed a huge, dark, hairy creature with large pointed ears and large glowing eyes. The creature was definitely stood upright like a person before it dropped down on all fours and ran away like a dog. Whether this was a Bigfoot or some other bizarre monstrous beast is unknown. Interestingly or not, during the same approximate time frame, the San Luis Valley region as well as the wider Colorado area experienced a flurry of UFO sightings. Whether or not there is a connection remains open for debate. One of the most intriguing is also to be found in the files of Christopher O'Brien. The case in question occurred in August 2000 and was originally filed with the Bigfoot Research Organization database. The incident was witnessed by two all-terrain vehicle operators while they were on the Blanca Peaks. As they were riding on the slope, they witnessed what they thought was a man ahead of them. However, they soon realized that the man was all the same color from head to toe. They slowed their vehicle and watched the figure walk and disappear into the trees at the side of the slope. They continued down the roadway for another 300 yards before bringing their vehicle to a stop. They decided to go looking for the strange figure. They walked into the trees and began their cautious search. After walking around 200 yards, they emerged into a meadow. Before they could fully take in their surroundings, one of the men witnessed it running towards the trees on the other side of the small field. He immediately called out that he could see the figure, causing the other witness to turn. They would later describe the strange creature as being a light to a medium brown with shaggy long hair. What's more, it was around 7 feet in height and moved at a considerable pace. although they would continue their pursuit, they soon lost sight of the creature and returned to their vehicle. We will stay in Colorado for a little while longer and examine next one of the most interesting Bigfoot and UFO cases on record, one that unfolded in the late 1970s. Jim Evans and his family had experienced months of discovering cattle mutilated or even missing entirely throughout the second half of 1976. In January 1977, though, the events would increase in intensity. On the night in question, Jim, along with his elder son, Joe, went to examine the spot of previous strange activity near their land. In the nearby woodland, they could make out a yellow light through the trees. They would make their way to the source of the light. In front of them lay a lonely black box. A buzzing sensation appeared to come from within it. Jim would move forward to within around 4 feet of the strange object. As he did so, the tone of the buzzing would change. It went from a calm, consistent tone to one like a bunch of angry bees. Both men backed away. Once back at their vehicle, Jim ordered Joe to wait in the car. He then returned to his previous position, only now the light and the box were both gone. He returned to his car and began the journey back home. Later that evening, however, he would notice the light again. This time, alone, he made his way to the shining object, intent on obtaining some answers. Jim would state that two individuals were waiting for him in the light. He would elaborate that he couldn't describe the light. It didn't seem to come from anywhere. It was just a light. It seemed as though the two individuals not only knew him, but judging by their greeting, they were expecting him. Around 50 feet away from them, Jim could clearly see a disc-shaped craft. He would state that the two individuals each adorned tight-fitting clothing like a flight suit. Furthermore, this clothing would change colour from brown to silver, although Jim didn't know how or why. According to Jim, the two individuals apologised for the troubles he and his family had experienced, insinuating they themselves were the cause of these. They promised to find a more equitable arrangement, although they didn't elaborate. They informed Jim that the creature, Bigfoot, that they had witnessed, obeys their commands. They spoke to him about the black box and that he was wise to stay away from it. They would then motion behind Jim, who noticed a Bigfoot creature standing directly behind him. As if obeying orders, it then walked towards the black box. As it had done previously, the tone suddenly changed to an angry bee swarming sound, and in an instant the creature dropped to the ground. As you can see, one of the individuals said, they are quite lethal. Jim then got the impression it was time for him to go. He did so, and although the incidents calmed somewhat, they didn't completely stop. Nor did Jim or his family receive any answers as to what was happening. There are several other UFO waves that have been accompanied by Bigfoot sightings. In October 2017, for example, an article would appear in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette regarding an increase in both UFO and Bigfoot sightings in Allegheny. Not only have sightings gone up, but the small town of Allegheny led the entire state of Pennsylvania in such encounters. Interestingly or not, one of the strange aerial sightings of recent times in the area are those of large black rectangular boxes. Could these be connected to the large black buzzing boxes as described in the Colorado encounter? Perhaps one of the most intriguing of these UFO Bigfoot crossover sightings occurred during the UFO wave of 1973, a surge of sightings particularly memorable for the sheer number of witnesses that would report seeing humanoid occupants. Although this wave of sightings stretched the entire year, the bulk of the activity was from around late September onwards. Many of the sightings were concentrated in certain states, one of which was Pennsylvania. However, unlike some of the other sightings, those in the Keystone State also seemed to include Bigfoot-like creatures as well as strange craft. On October 25th, at a little after 9 p.m, multiple witnesses would report seeing a large red spherical object hovering at low altitude before coming down to land in a nearby field. When witnesses approached the field, they saw a white dome-shaped object making a whirring sound and illuminating the ground around where it sat. Even more bizarre, however, were the two tall creatures, each between 7 and 9 feet, walking from the craft. Each had shaggy hair, and each had particularly oversized arms right to below the knee. Strangest of all, though, were the glowing green eyes. At this point, some of the witnesses fired their weapons on the creatures. Rather than fall injured or even dead, though, They simply turned around, and in a flash, the domed craft was gone, and the creatures were almost out of sight into the woods. When local UFO investigators arrived at the area later that evening, they noticed how the animals that would normally graze and roam in the pasture wouldn't go anywhere near it. They would remain there for most of the night and into the early hours of the following morning. They would notice how several of the animals would pay no attention to their presence, and instead stared intently into the woods where the two strange creatures had vanished. Investigators also witnessed several strange flashes of light coming from a farmhouse near to their location. Then, something truly bizarre took place, something that once again lends an aspect of the supernatural to the Bigfoot question. While speaking to investigators, one of the main witnesses would suddenly go into a trance and begin to growl like a dog. He then pushed several of the investigators to the ground and ran into the field, animalistic sounds coming from him as he did so. Then, he let out an inhuman scream before collapsing to the ground, now seemingly free of the control of whatever force had taken over him. At the same time, and again in line with other Bigfoot sightings, was an intense odour akin to rotting eggs. He would quickly come back to his senses. He would state that during the episode, only seconds long, his mind filled with chilling visions. Visions that he could only describe as being like the end of the world. This is a particularly interesting notion, especially when we consider some of the Native American legends, ones that state these Bigfoot-like creatures have more in sympathy with the spirit world than anything else. The area around Crater Lake in Oregon also has regular reports and a long history of strange lights in the sky. Strange lights are a regular occurrence over Wizard Island, for example, at the centre of the lake. One particularly enthralling account comes from February 1997. The pilot of a private plane would claim to have seen several military jets chasing a UFO over the waters of the lake. Incidentally, later in the evening of the sighting, a huge boom would shake the entire state of Oregon. Nobody had any idea what this sudden colossal noise was. However, several local and state news stations would cover the incident. Even more bizarre, and in a similar way to Mount Shasta or Mount Adams, are reports of strange aerial and futuristic vehicles physically entering the mountains around the lake, leading to claims of an alien base being present there. There are also numerous reports of monsters and shadowy creatures who many believe reside in the woodlands and caves around Crater Lake. These sightings vary from Bigfoot-type creatures to winged reptilian humanoids. Furthermore, there are reports of secret government agents carrying out some kind of cover-up of the presence of these creatures. One account tells of a Bigfoot that was knocked down and killed by a car. This would result in the appearance of these mystery gentlemen who would remove the body and then deny any involvement. We have seen so far then that there is almost certainly some kind of connection between Bigfoot creatures and UFOs. What, however, might that connection be? Are these creatures actually extraterrestrial in nature, or might they simply use the same method of entry from their world into ours? A lot of the alleged hotspot areas of Bigfoot sightings are also in regions where tectonic plates meet. Some theories suggest that the energy released when this happens is so great it opens a portal to another world. An area known as the Bennington Triangle in the northeast of the United States also has legends of beast-like creatures. Some legends of the local tribes of the area also speak of a portal being present there. Might this be another example of interdimensional creatures? The idea of portals or gateways sharing a connection to Bigfoot encounters is an interesting one, and one that would make a certain amount of sense, as bizarre as it might sound, when we consider some of the claims of these beast-like creatures simply vanishing into thin air. For example, respected UFO researcher Linda Moulton Howe would recall an account of a rancher who found himself staring straight into the face of a Bigfoot. He instinctively raised his weapon to fire at it, only several feet away from him, and in a flash, it simply disappeared. We might keep in mind, for all of the solid sightings and video footage, no one has ever captured one of these creatures, whatever the moral argument might be in doing so. In fact, it would appear that nobody has ever come close to this, and when we keep in mind that many witnesses stress how the creature was there one minute and gone the next, we should perhaps look at the idea that these apparently wild beasts are, in fact, visitors from another dimension, or even time. Admittedly, it isn't an idea that readily springs to mind when discussing Bigfoot sightings. However, increasing numbers of researchers are recognising such a connection, regardless of how outlandish it might seem. Indeed, the idea that these creatures are little more than strong beasts, at least according to those who have had close contact experiences with them, would seem to be quite far removed from the truth. Many such witnesses, even though they cannot explain why, state of an immediate sensation of overpowering intelligence from these strange beings. So, the question we should ask then, are these potential portals the result of purposeful engineering? Perhaps the use of advanced technology, or an understanding of how to manipulate energy and the elements themselves in order to step from one realm to another? Or might they be the unintended result of natural phenomena such as tectonic plate activity, for example, that results in a brief sharing of plateaus between our world and theirs? There is increasing research, even in the mainstream, into the possible existence of black holes on Earth, portals and wormholes, as well as the existence of energy in empty space. Any one of these largely unknown phenomena could result in the opening of gateways to another dimension. Many scientists now also seriously contemplate the multiverse theory, the idea that multiple universes, worlds or dimensions all existing at once, with everything, the past, the present and the future all taking place at the same time, all the time, is no longer just mad ravings from the lunatic fringe. These concepts, albeit only in theory, are in the minds of serious thinking researchers and scientists. And might it prove to be that the origins of Bigfoot might also be explained the more such concepts are researched? We might also contemplate just how long these Bigfoot creatures have had a presence on Earth, and it is to that question that we'll turn our attention to next. The idea of Bigfoot creatures somehow being connected to UFOs and extraterrestrials becomes even more intriguing when we examine it from an ancient astronaut perspective. And while we won't go over the full intricacies of the theory here, we will remind ourselves of the basic thrust of it, and specifically the work of Zachariah Sitchin, based on his own translations of Sumerian cuneiform tablets, which were relayed in his Earth Chronicles book series. Ultimately, Sitchin offered that an alien race known as the Anunnaki arrived on Earth almost 500,000 years ago to mine the planet for gold. However, the toil of such work led to a rebellion, and it was decided that a worker race would be created, using Anunnaki DNA and that of the most developed hominid. Eventually, what became human beings were created, but part of these translations details the experimental procedures that went towards this eventual worker race. One of these initial attempts appeared at first to be successful. However, they soon realised that this worker would not be able to fulfil their needs. The text states that rather than having smooth, hairless skin like the Anunnaki, this being was shaggy with hair all over. It also stated that the creature's foreparts were like this of Earth creatures, and furthermore, the creature's hind parts were like those of the Anunnaki. They continued to bring up the creature, hoping that it might grow and develop over time. However, this would prove not to be the case. According to Sitchin's translations, it was determined that the creature was unable to hold or use tools, nor were its hands suited to do so. What's more, again according to the ancient text, the being's speech was only grunting sounds. We might ask then, given the fact that these Bigfoot creatures are often described as having an otherworldly quality to them, were these creatures, these first attempts at a worker race, descendants of what we know as Bigfoot creatures today? It is also worth remembering that multiple versions of these creatures were created, not just a single one. Perhaps they were simply released into the wild and then left to their own devices. And from there, did they possibly retreat to the woodlands and mountains and evolve discreetly over the centuries? We might stay with this train of thought for a little while longer, as there are several other potential examples of Bigfoot creatures in ancient times. We might turn our attention, for example, to accounts of a creature named Enkidu in the Epic of Gilgamesh. According to this account, Enkidu lived out in the wilderness and was described as an animal or a wild man. Gilgamesh, we are told, took the hairy creature and essentially shaved off the excess hair and had the creature bathed and clothed. Is it possible that Enkidu was, in fact, a Bigfoot? And if so, if there's any truth in the account, what does this say for potential interaction between these creatures and humanity across the ages? As we can see then, there appears to be much more to these strange Bigfoot type creatures than just connections to UFOs. That there is a connection though is highly likely. Of course, what that connection might be remains elusive from researchers in both fields. And, like UFO sightings, encounters with Bigfoot continue to be reported regularly today. And the more reports are collected and studied, the more intricacies and strange details are discovered. One researcher, for example, Becky Cook from Idaho, noticed an apparent connection with people who have had near-death experiences. According to Cook's data, around 70% of witnesses have had at least one near-death experience. It is their increasing belief that this could be a major factor in people being able to see the creature to begin with. We should also recall that many researchers, as well as many of the native tribes across North America, claim there is very much a supernatural element to the Bigfoot creature. Indeed, there certainly appears to be more complexity to Bigfoot than most of us first suspect. Cook also mentions that many witnesses speak of these strange creatures actually arriving on Earth through portals, as opposed to living in the wilderness. And this would, she claims, explain why many people only see these strange entities for a very short period of time. Taking this further, what might that tell us of the reason UFOs are often witnessed in abundance in the same location as Bigfoot hotspots? Might there be a more supernatural aspect to the mystery of UFOs? And might, like the Bigfoot creatures, they arrive here on Earth through the same or similar portals? And if so, what is causing these portals to open? Ultimately, why are UFOs and Bigfoot creatures witnessed in the same locations and quite often at similar times? That, so far at least, remains a mystery. For now, I will simply thank you for joining me, and be sure to leave any thoughts in the comment and check out the links for further reading to some of the cases we have been discussing here today. Remember to subscribe to our channel and follow us on social media to keep up to date on future podcasts, articles and videos. And if there is anything you want us to speak about on any future podcast episodes, simply get in touch at marcus@ufoinsight.com. Until next time, goodbye. And take care.